Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The most important story of the day.
All right, we get a chance to visit with the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. It is Wes Durham joining
That's
us here.
Wes Drewham
on the waitforward.com hotline. And hey, man, before we get into some college football, because we definitely want to talk some college football with you.
Sure.
Last week, you know, we had Coach Art on just about an hour or so ago. He was, you know, pretty adamant talking about the mistakes and saying, hey, we got to clean some of this up. But I want to ask you this, you know, from your perspective and what you see. I feel like, Wes, that there are some things that are moving in the right direction. It's not all bad. I think we're all clouded with just the L, and it was an ugly L. But there are some things that I went last week, okay, that's an improvement, right?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, first of all, they did a pretty good job third down defensively. I mean, when you start looking at where some of their numbers are, they're not terrible on that side. I mean, their third down offensive numbers are not great, but their third down defensive numbers aren't bad. Now, how many of those, you know, do you write off just a two-game deal or that kind of thing? I thought you got to kind of look at what this is and say to yourself, okay, they're running the ball and they're 24th in the league. Well, you run it against two of the better defenses in the league, okay? Now let's see what happens when you run it against the team that is, 21st in run defense, okay? Let's see what happens when you put that offense on the field against somebody who's 25th in passing yards allowed a game. Now we're starting to get to kind of this three-game set with the Giants, Washington, and the Jets, where in all honesty, I think they've got a chance to win three straight. And can you get some optimism going and kind of validate the hard work? I talk about it a lot in college because you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds. I hate to use that analogy here, but that's kind of the one I put myself on, you know, Monday flying back is I see a chance for them to win the next three and all of a sudden feel a little bit different about the first five as opposed to what it could be. And remember now, when we get to that Jets game, after that's the bye.
Right.
So you get 12 straight weeks of football after that. And that's a big deal. And the other part, Carl and Mike, I'd add is you may have to do this without A.J. Terrell and Russell Gage.
Right.
And without Terrell is the bigger concern than without Gage, in my opinion, at this point.
And I know that, it's funny, we spoke with a writer that covers the Giants, Wes, and basically they're in the same mindset as us. There's fan base that has not really happened the last couple of years. There are some playmakers on both teams, but how do you maximize the other guys? If the offensive line can come together, we asked Coach Arch and Arthur Smith, he didn't want to get too technical with it, but I just think Hennessy's got to do a better job of communicating, especially when it comes to Mayfield, because they'd be in space where they didn't need to be, and then you'd see the Bucs and the Eagles get free runs on the quarterback.
Yeah, you're right, Mike, and I think you know there's the possibility you could see Gossett this week. There's a possibility you can see, you know, a variety of combinations. But I think the left guard is still the flammable piece of where the offensive line is. You're just going to have to get through this acclimation period of what these guys are going through. And then you've got to take advantage of it and make things cleaner offensively. Are they doing a pretty good job there? Yeah, they're doing an okay job, but they know they can get better, and I think that's – the other thing, too, is we got to find a way to start running the ball. You know that, and I know that. We got to find a way to run it consistently and have some productivity out of it because that'll free up Ryan then to do some things that, you know, obviously is his strong suit, too.
It's Wes Durham, guys, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. By the way, coverage of the game on Sunday against the Giants – here. And, of course, you'll listen to the pregame and all the postgame coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wes, let's talk about what are your thoughts as far as the defense is concerned and just as a group, as a unit? Do you feel like they are, you know, doing the things that Dean Pease is hoping to do? Is this still about them learning the defense and a schematic thing, and that maybe is one of the reasons why we're giving up all the points we're giving up?
I think, first of all, you've got to look at it in relationship to the turnovers, Carl. Okay, I mean, 14 points of Sunday's game at the end was the two pick sixes, right?
Right.
So take those off the board. I think they made some plays. Are they making enough plays? Well, certainly not. But you're looking at your two linebackers as being your leading tacklers. Eric Harris is right behind that. You got Daron Harmon, you know, about a dozen stops, that kind of thing. So the middle core of your defense is your most productive piece from a tackling standpoint. Do I want to see them make more plays? Absolutely. You know, there are a couple of areas I think they've done okay. But to answer your question, it's hard for me to tell you how far along they are. I would say that I thought they were a little better against Tampa than they were against Philadelphia. You didn't have guys running completely free like you did at times with what Philadelphia was doing. So was that a better game? Yeah. Did you give up 40? Yeah. I mean, you know, they're dead last in scoring defense at this point. We got to figure out how, you know, you can minimize some. But you did produce three and outs, and I don't recall many three and outs at all against Philadelphia. You were able to get to Brady a couple times. You forced a turnover. So in smaller increments, yes, but bigger picture, we all know the way you validate this is whether you win or lose, for sure.
It's our man, Wes Durham. We call him Wes Druham. It's a long story for young listeners. We had a promo guy who mispronounced the name, and now it's stuck. And Wes's son
three times, by the way. Yeah. Three times he did it.
Doesn't your son have it as like when you call him, it goes, Druham?
Yes, yes. My son who you got, and Mike, don't call Will for tickets, even though he would probably give them to you because he likes you guys. He likes Mike for some reason, Carl. I'm still working through that with him to make better decisions in life.
What's Will doing, now, by the way?
He's a graduate assistant in the men's basketball program at Clemson. You may see him on TV this year behind the Clemson bench during a game. Yeah, he's having a blast. He's very fortunate. My twin daughter lives in D.C. She works for a political consulting and lobbyist firm, Bell. So watch your P's and Q's if you ever meet my daughter.
Mind your P's and Q's, Buster. Well, maybe your son can give some insight into what the heck's going on in Death Valley.
That's a football situation, Mike. Come on now.
All right, well, let me rephrase it then. We'll pivot. How in the hell did North Carolina lose to Virginia Tech? Because I wonder if they're going to come back and rue that one. I mean, I know it's a tough place to go to Lane when they got Metallica and all that happening. But you look at Virginia Tech, and again, comparative scores and all that. They go to West Virginia and they fall flat. And Carolina looks like they can score, but they're not playing great defense either.
Well, I think what you have in college football, and Dave Clawson, the head coach at Wake Forest, said this on our show about a month ago, and we've kind of had it out there ever since, and that is that this was bound to be the most competitive year of college football that we've probably seen in a generation. And the reason being is we've got all these COVID year extra years for some kids. We've got the transfer portal, and if you guys talk to recruiting people, they'll tell you that coaches and schools can ride the plus 85 on scholarships this year. So you've got more depth probably and more experience than you've ever had. So you're going to have some games that are like every week. Like I had Jacksonville State, Florida State. I'm going to watch Richmond, who's a really good FCS team, play Virginia Tech this weekend. I mean, you're going to get the game that's a little sideways, probably one every week. Like Fresno State beating UCLA last week, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's going to happen. And that's because we've got this unbelievable surplus of talent within every program. Remember now, we're going to line some programs up who've got more than 100 scholarship players this year. Mm. Now, the problem for those schools is they're going to have to get back to 85 by the start of next year. So, you know, we're going to get a little general manager salary cap, waiver wire, whatever you want to call it, between the end of the season and the start of next fall, and that's going to cause a little bit of a bump in the game. But I think that's what you're seeing. And really, Virginia Tech, I guess I was disappointed because Virginia Tech knew going to Morgantown that they were going to run into the same atmosphere that when Carolina came to Blacksburg. I think you're going to see the same. Look at Florida on Saturday. Alabama went into they went into the throat of the beast. Now, Gainesville was no cakewalk for Alabama, That's because you've got all this talent. All these people are back in the seats. These environments have been sensational. Yeah. They really have. And I think that's part of the reason you're seeing really entertaining games. Clemson's situation on offense is they got to get the line cleaned up. In my opinion, they got to run Uiagalelei more. Mm-hmm. He's a 250-pound kid on a 6'5 frame. There are not many college kids will be able to take him on one-on-one. And Clemson's got to feel better about themselves offensively. And right now, they don't have Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence or, you know, even Taj Boyd to a degree at the wheel. They've got to find a little continuity with what they're doing, and Clemson will be fine. Defensively, they are lights out now. I mean, but the Saturday afternoon game at NC State, that's going to be an interesting game because NC State, despite losing at Mississippi State, is a pretty good football team from that perspective.
Wes, as we talk about, and you're right, the environments, you know, with fans in the stands has just changed everything from last year. And I totally agree with you on that. But let's talk about, you know, what you saw in the SEC. Last week, Auburn goes up to Penn State. It was a great game.
Sure.
And you know, the point that I'm going to make is Penn State is now in position, depending on how their schedule plays out. They've got Villanova this weekend, but they got their big games coming up next week, starting next week. They have a shot. They're six in the country. They got a shot to maybe make this college football playoff.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you look at, you know, a team like Oregon out west, where we haven't talked to about the Pac-12. Those
Physical.
Two teams have a real shot at getting to the college football playoff this year.
Sure they do. Absolutely. And I think that's important to keep in mind. There's, you know, and I joke around about this, but I'm kind of half serious, I guess, in that we may get through the fall and have a zero, one team with a zero, okay? Mm. Okay, let's say Alabama and Georgia are on this collision course for Atlanta, okay? They play in the SEC championship, 0-0, loss column. So you know both. The winner will definitely go. The loser likely will get in, okay? Can you imagine how many one-loss teams we might be looking at, though, on the backside of that?
Right.
I mean, we might be looking at 7 or 8 one-loss teams technically for two spots. And I would add in that group the ones you just mentioned, Carl, Oregon, Penn State, really good examples. I would add, I mean, who knows what Oklahoma's going to do? Who knows what Cincinnati's going to do?
Right.
I mean,
well, big test for Notre Dame, by the way. Notre Dame, Wisconsin this weekend.
Well, again, that's a good point too, Mike. You've already, Wisconsin, who lost week one to Penn State. Now, all of a sudden, if Wisconsin bangs Notre Dame this weekend at Soldier Field, what's that look like? I mean, then again, here we go. We're going to have 7 or 8 teams, and everybody's going to say, well, this is why the playoffs got to be bigger. No, it's not, because we've used the regular season to drive it all the way to this point, and it's the committee that has to decide the value of the ones to go with the champion of the SEC in our hypothetical here, and maybe the runner-up, be it Georgia or Alabama, whoever takes their first loss. The other two teams would have one loss. That would be great college football from the beginning of the regular season to the end of the regular season.
Wes, it's always good to talk with you, man. Appreciate you stopping by, and let's go get a win. I'm talking about our Falcons on Sunday. Wes will have the call with Dave.
How you guys like having Bo in studio?
Well, we're both at home, so it's perfect.
It's amazing. I mean, Bo actually had to come in the studio. Can you imagine Mike coming out of the holler up there in Cherokee County?
No,
Bo?
No, hold on.
Coming back into the city.
How about the other way, brother? I'm halfway to Auburn. Hey, by the way, are we going to do the vineyard, by the way, in the backyard? Real quick, Carl, Wes posted a picture of stately Durham Manor.
Yeah.
And there's all this space back there. And I just thought, you know, people are getting into the wine business. A lot of guys in sports, and you got the marketing touch, Wes. I mean, what about Durham, you know, grapes? I mean, a Weston Woody Cabernet. I mean, I would see that as a big seller. And you've got the acreage.
Hey, wait a second. You're assuming that's my property off my back porch?
No, it's not. I thought that was all your expense. That's not yours.
Doesn't, Carl, does somebody need to remind him I'm in broadcasting and not in financials?
I know. I get it, man. Hey. What?
It's unbelievable what Bell comes up with.
No, I mean, really. My first reaction, Carl, when I saw this, I'm like, wow, right off the interstate, or not that close to the interstate. But it'd be you could do a bed and breakfast too, Wes, if you want to, you know, think about life after broadcast.
Really, Mike? Is that what you're – I'm thinking about a tea time like Carl. That's all I think about,
Exactly. All right, man. Wes, take care, brother.
Boys.
We'll see you.
Be
That's
great.
Funny. That's
take
funny.
Care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.